too many of us continuing. Willingly buy into this narrative. Doomthink is fashionable, accompanied by resignation and a reorientation to purely personal concerns. This is what sparked my comment, because that's exactly what he ends up, recommending, a reorientation to personal concerns. You know, he ends up talking about the hot tubs and the hen houses and the gardens. And it's a really insidious piece. Doomthink is fashionable, accompanied by resignation and a reorientation to purely personal concerns, since, quote, we can't do anything anyway, unquote. Naturally, the system, again, no conscious actor, the system seeks to preserve itself by psychologically and culturally promoting fear of its own collapse in such a way that people feel powerless, resigned, and isolated, so they'll passively accept business as usual. My comment on this is what I would call sophisticated slippery. Another tell that it's power propaganda, i.e. that it's not just that its meaning is difficult to pin down, that it means both what it seems to be saying and its opposite simultaneously, but that it seeks to foster what it claims to be trying to prevent, fear and resignation. This is particularly evident once you read all three of the paragraphs that I cite here. The central slipperiness, aside from not being clear about what he means by the system, is both telling us that the system as it is currently organized is on the verge of being swept away, and that the system wants us to think that this will mean famine, etc. Now, this is misleading, because the power guys, in their planning for the world they want, put the earth and its resources and the implications of resource shortages front and center. It's not about doomthink, it's about facing reality. As without that actual picture of the physical reality, how can you plan? So recall what Craig Calhoun from the London School of Economics, and even though he comes from the London School of Economics, I don't read his piece as being duplicitous at all. I read it as being not for us, but for the policy planner guys. So he's being straightforward. You know, it's a Bentham kind of thing. You know, and London School of Economics, it don't get too much more power purposed in academia than that, outside of Oxford, Harvard, Cambridge, Yale. So recall what he had to say, because we used this, we cited him, this quote earlier, quote, the extent in other shows, quote, the extent to which nature is used up or irretrievably damaged is a problem for the future of capitalism as well as life generally. It's a problem that exceeds the categories of economic analysis. This is partly because natural resources are extremely hard to price appropriately, especially with attention to long-term sustainability. Understood as essentially limited resources, nature is also an object of competitive appropriation among capitalist organizations and the states on which they depend. But a host of new competitions for scarce resources will shape the near future and pose challenges to capital as well as to states and human societies. Energy is basic. Minerals are needed for modern technologies. Water is in short and unpredictable supply and often polluted. Even agricultural farmland is an object of competition as arid Arabia and crowded China fight to acquire rights to fertile Africa. And this is from Craig Calhoun's piece in Does Capitalism Have a Future? Called What Threatens Capitalism Now? So Mr. Palmer's claim that predictions of famine is doomthink is quite difficult to take seriously. And even more difficult to take seriously is his celebration of collapse, while carefully omitting any reason to celebrate and lots of implied reasons to fear.